The following Bloodstream Media podcast is made possible by Tremo Pharmaceuticals and is intended for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. Please speak with medical professionals before making healthcare decisions.
We can mask it, we can disguise it, we can function beautifully, but it's still there.
You are afraid right now because you live with pain, and your fear is causing you to stop doing the things that you love.
It requires acceptance over and over again.
It's completely different when you have someone who empathizes and truly understands what you're going through.
My life has value. My life, even with pain, I am an integral part of society.
Hi, I'm Mel Forrest, and welcome to the Pain Pod.
My name is Greg Holdsman. I'm the lead podcast producer at Believe Limited. And I suffered from post-concussive syndrome for over 3.5 years.
This is Greg. And as he said, he's the lead podcast producer at Believe Limited. He also happens to be the lead podcast producer of The Pain Pod. I've had the pleasure of working with Greg for over a year now. I can confidently say that he is a dedicated worker, an empathetic and caring friend, and an overall good person. But besides these qualities, there were parts of his life that I didn't know about. A little while back, Greg suffered a significant concussion. I knew this about him, but what I didn't know was that Greg had also been navigating his own journey with chronic pain. If I could work this closely with someone and not know about something that has such a significant effect on their life, how many others were having this experience? What are things that influence a person's daily life that often go unseen? What did I really know about Greg?
So I played college basketball at a Division III school in Granville, Ohio, and in my freshman year, I suffered a relatively major concussion, but because it was my first one, it only took me a week and a half to really recover. Fast forward 7 months, playing in an open gym, took a shoulder to the head. I didn't really think it was much. All I knew is that I felt kind of off. And that feeling of being off, or what I later described as being foggy or dissociated, lasted for 4 months, and I missed the entire sophomore season. Fast forward another 3 to 4 months, I was in the weight room with a friend, very silly, I slammed a medicine ball down on the ground, it came up, hit me in the face. That was my third concussion. Once you get more and more concussions, successive concussions lead to longer periods of recovery and more intense symptoms. So that third concussion, which was kind of blended with a couple more knocks down the road, really took me another 2.5 years to really fully recover. My primary concussion doctor at the time told me that it was probably a good idea to retire and not play competitive basketball anymore. I'm sure there was a part of me that was absolutely devastated that I would no longer play competitive basketball anymore, because I had put so much of my life and effort and time into honing my craft and my passion. But where my mind really was at that time was, oh my God, am I going to be able to think straight ever again? Am I going to be able to read and work and be a functioning adult and professional? Is this ever going to get better? And so basketball at that time became so minuscule in comparison to the fear that I had about my actual life. My mind, 24 hours a day, was just focused on how I'm feeling physically. And I overlooked my emotions in all of that, which is why now that's the stuff that I think about and I'm addressing, because for 3.5 years, it was just the physical discomfort and the physical pain. A big misconception is that you have to look physically ill to be in chronic pain. One of the things that bothered me the most, and I wasn't looking for pity, but was that no one could see what I was going through, because it was all in my head, both figuratively and literally.
Because I couldn't outwardly see the effects chronic pain had on Greg, I didn't ask questions, which meant I didn't know or understand all that he had been through. Chronic pain is often described as an invisible illness. It can go unseen by others and leave those it affects feeling isolated, alone, and even invalidated. We will hear from three people about the ups and downs of chronic pain and learn how it affects not just the physical well-being of a person, but also the emotional and mental well-being.
Oh my gosh, it's so isolating. It is a lonely thing because you sometimes think you're going out of your bleeping mind.
There's a very high suicide rate in the endometriosis community because people feel, one, they're in pain all the time and they just want it to stop, and two, they feel crazy.
One of my friends says, oh, you always have negative things to say. And I'm like, I'm really not trying to be negative. It just feels so lonely.
In this episode, we talk candidly about the effects chronic pain has on other invisible illnesses, like depression and anxiety. I want to take a moment to acknowledge that some of the content around mental health in this episode may be sensitive. If you or a loved one is experiencing a mental health crisis or having thoughts of suicide, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline to talk to a mental health professional in your area.
My plan was I was going to try and get pregnant.
This is Andrea.
But when the pain got too bad, we were just going to do the hysterectomy.
She has endometriosis, interstitial cystitis, and suffers from chronic migraines. It took 8 years for doctors to diagnose Andrea with endometriosis. And although this brought some relief and validation, it was only the beginning of her turbulent and confusing journey with pain.
I had my son when I was 25, and then my daughter 15 months later. And if I didn't have them when I did, there's a strong possibility I wouldn't have had kids. My husband is, I can't tell you how amazing he is. He's been with me through 2 C-sections and 7 surgeries. He's definitely been on that journey with me. We got married and we had 2 kids. And I remember after having our kids, I was like, this is gonna fix it. And so it was about a year and a half after my daughter was born that I went into a doctor for pain. And he's like, yeah, it's still there.
Endometriosis is a disorder where the endometrium, a tissue similar to the one that lines the inside of the uterus, grows outside of the uterus. This can sometimes be found on the ovaries, fallopian tubes, and even the intestines. Endometriosis is difficult to diagnose. It is extremely painful and, for some, can cause infertility.
My plan was I was going to try and get pregnant, but when the pain got too bad, we were just going to do the hysterectomy. So we tried and it didn't work out, which is fine because we have 2 beautiful, healthy children, and so many people with endo don't get that.
There is no cure for endometriosis, but there are some options that help relieve and minimize the pain. Removal of the ovaries and uterus through a hysterectomy is just one option for pain relief, but it's not always a guarantee.
I had the hysterectomy, and so I was like, okay, this is a big step and it's a big deal, but this is gonna change a lot of things. Within about 6 months, I was in so much pain, and it was just like disheartening because it's like, what option do I have? I found very large patches of endo on my bladder where my ovaries used to be behind my uterus. And it was just, that was kind of a dark point. I don't have ovaries or fallopian tubes or uterus. Like, I don't have anything that they can go in and take out and try and make this better. On the one hand, now I have the validation and that part's great, but what do I do?
Some people who experience chronic pain are left with many unanswered questions. To loosely quote Patrick Gaines, a guest from our first episode, it can sometimes feel like you are being run through the medical mill. The constant pain, the unanswered questions, and the overall lifestyle change can take a toll on a person's mental and emotional well-being, which can sometimes lead to depression and anxiety. We will dive deeper into the emotional and mental side of pain after this word about our sponsor.
The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and made possible thanks to our presenting sponsor, Tremo Pharmaceuticals.
I'm excited about Tremo's potential.
This is Mary Garfield, Tremo's head of clinical operations.
When I look at their mission and their rare disease focus, I like the pharmaceutical companies that focus on the small number of patients, not the big, massive number of patients. And I like that Tremo could be a leading biotech company focusing on developing therapies that could change the way patients are treated and the way they suffer from a rare disease.
In addition to working on medication, Mary knows that non-medicinal interventions can also do a great deal to help people in pain.
I have a friend who is really overweight and struggled with pain in her knees, walking, and she realized, well, it's easy to take a painkiller every day, but maybe if I lose weight, it'll help me too. And she did, and she pretty much doesn't have to take any pain medication anymore. My son is an ex-Marine and came out after serving with severe back pain. And he goes regularly to a chiropractor. He doesn't take any medicine, but the chiropractor's adjustments has helped him. So he has luckily been able to deal with his pain by going to a chiropractor versus taking a painkiller.
Mary appreciates that pain can be an all-consuming force, and she is committed to doing something about that.
I would have to say that in a perfect world, that patients don't have to live with pain. And if Tremo is successful in bringing these new therapies to some of these patients where they can go to work, go to school, raise a family, support a family, and I would be honored to say that I was part of that success and that life without physical pain is something that I would love to bring to every patient who struggle with pain every day.
Tremo was founded with the goal of developing and delivering non-opioid pain therapies for people with rare diseases and other carefully selected pain conditions. Tremo is currently conducting a phase 3 clinical trial for its lead product, a COX-2 selective NSAID. NSAID, for those who aren't familiar, stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. While this treatment is not FDA approved, you can learn more about Tremo's pipeline, mission, and the dedicated team working alongside Mary by going to TremoRx.com. That's TremeaRx.com. Tremo, leading the way for those left behind in pain.
When I think back to when did my depression really start and be an issue in my life, I think I can go back to high school. I think I had some issues then, but didn't realize it. My mother had depression and anxiety, but never called it that. And I didn't know that until I was an adult. You just didn't talk about things like that in her generation.
Cassandra Campos McDonald suffers from chronic neck and back pain. In this episode, she openly shares her own history and experiences with depression, anxiety, and chronic pain.
When I gave birth to my first son in 96, that's when depression really hit me. And it wasn't postpartum. My mother passed away 5 weeks after my son was born. And then he was diagnosed with hemophilia, you know, and all this. So it was just a bad time. I started to need medication and therapy. And I've done that ever since, you know, and I'm a big proponent of doing those in tandem together. But then I finally got on a good place with my depression. And then my second son was born 10 years later in 06. And that is when I had postpartum depression.
The American Psychological Association cites up to 1 in 7 women will experience postpartum depression following the birth of a child.
I will take this moment to say that anyone who says postpartum depression is just a fluky thing, they don't know what they're talking about, because that was one of the most frightening things I ever went through in my life, was postpartum depression. So I've had this real wide range of experiences with depression, but when pain comes in, sometimes, you know, at least for me, I can feel when I'm having an episode and I just have to put myself to bed rest for a day or so. You know, I have to make these decisions. When the pain is so much that I have to go to bed, that's all I can do, because it does happen. It happened last week. Then that's when my depression can really get me.
Pain is so personal. And if you experience chronic pain, you most likely have a pain management plan or routine that works for you. This can bring some relief, sure, but dealing with it alone can sometimes be isolating and all-consuming.
I tell you what, being alone in your mind is dangerous. It really is. because it can just really get a hold of you. And for me, when I am at the point where my pain is just so burdensome, so intense that I even just can't hardly stand up, that is when depression will just take over and I go into that dark pit and I just can't climb out. And unfortunately for me especially is that sometimes you have to go into that pit. Sometimes you have to make that journey down there to start getting out. You can't avoid it all the time. Maybe some people can, I can't. And I am now at the point that I've been dealing with depression, you know, for 30 some odd years, that I can feel, it's strange, but I can feel when I'm starting to sink. I'm just fortunate that I have two people in my house who just love me to pieces.
Depression and anxiety can be linked to chronic pain, but far too often they go unseen.
We walk past people who we have no idea what they're dealing with or battling or struggling with or from. And pain is one of those things. We can mask it, we can disguise it, we can function beautifully, but it's still there.
Coping with the physical side of pain can require daily check-ins and routines that attempt to address this issue. But what about the emotional and mental side of pain? Are there ways to recognize, nurture, and care for this aspect? And should it be a daily practice?
And you feel alone and you feel isolated because you're stuck going through it and this is your life and there's nothing you can do to change it except learn to cope.
April opens up about her emotional struggles with chronic pain and shares the things that have helped her cope along the way.
Over the years, I did a chronic pain rehab program, which had all kinds of doctors and mental health and physical health, and they kind of teach you to cope with it. It's hard accepting this is my life. This is what I'm going to deal with for the rest of my life, taking pills and learning, taking it day by day and learning what to do with the pain that I'm in that day. I think the key to that is finding a good therapist. I really do. I've had some not so good therapists and I have a wonderful therapist now. I've been with her for almost 7 years. She's kind of been with me through it all. And so having a good team of therapists and even a psychiatrist that kind of deals a little bit of background with pain, that way they can kind of understand a little bit more of like, okay, you know, this isn't just your mental health, but it is impacted because of your pain. She's like, I understand you're saying it's not in your head. And I believe you, but technically, and she made me laugh, she's like, technically, it is in your head because that's where all the nerves come from. And so we were laughing about that. We had a good bond. And so I think a good counselor that understands what you're going through and then a good team of doctors.
Finding a good therapist and a team of doctors that you trust is a great way to address not just the physical, but the emotional and mental aspects that come with chronic pain. But sometimes, just finding others that really understand can be a great starting point.
I am one of the fortunate ones who has a support system who can help me get out of those moments. And it's sad because not everybody has those. And so, you know, if anybody, especially if they're in the bleeding disorder community, and if they hear this and they hear this message, just find me on Facebook and I will talk to you. And if I can't, I'll help you find someone that will, because there's a lot of us out there in the rare community that deal with these issues because we're having to help our loved ones or we ourselves are struggling with bleeding disorders or pain or whatever. And sometimes you just need to have someone listen to you. Not give advice, just listen to you that understands.
Managing chronic pain involves a comprehensive care plan that addresses not just one, but many of its components, including depression and anxiety. Dealing with chronic pain can feel isolating, but please know that you are not alone. I would like to graciously thank all of our guests for sharing their experiences with mental health and chronic pain on this episode. And for those who may not have depression, anxiety, chronic pain, or any of the many other invisible illnesses, know that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Just being compassionate and empathetic with both people that you know and strangers goes a long way.
It requires acceptance over and over again.
We talk chronic pain and acceptance next time on the Pain Pod. The Pain Podcast is written and hosted by me, Mel Forrest. Produced and edited by Greg Holtzman. Artwork by Ryan Gielen and Christina Newhard. Post-production support from Joshua Sterling Bragg, Rob Bradford, and Avra Friedman. And executive produced by Patrick James Lynch. The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and presented by Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Learn more about Tremo and the work they're doing to help alleviate pain by visiting TREMEAURX.com. And as always, if you liked this episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and share the Pain Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Mel Forrest, and we'll be back next time with episode 6 of the Pain Pod.